Hallelujah. How's everybody today?
Blessed and highly favored.
Amen. Praise God. Can you lower this just a slight? I don't want to blow anybody out of here. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Amen. We have a choice. God has given us the power to choose. When you choose right, you get blessed. When you choose wrong, you mess up. It's real simple. You choose the right things of God, man, you get blessed. You choose the bad things, you get cursed. Blessing, cursing, that's it. Amen? So it's very vitally important in these days that one of the things the enemy wants to do is trip us up. He wants to what? Trip us up. The Word tells us to be careful. Put the full armor of God on, that you will withstand the trickery of the devil. Some people just don't believe that there is a devil. Of course, when you're serving the devil, you don't know that he's there. Oh, praise God. We are in the latter days, aren't we? Praise God. You know, in these last days, the Lord says something very carefully. He says, beware of dogs. A dog is a demonized individual. Beware of mutilation. Beware of workers of evil that will try to deceive you, manipulate you, and cause you to stumble. Beware. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, would you go there for a moment? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12. Let's speak it together. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. There are many who boast in appearance but not heart. See, I'm going to share something that's kind of strange. Be the first thing. When we are born again of the Spirit, there's a process because it's a position. It's a state of being born again. One of the things that really needs to get born again is your heart. See, many people rely on just knowledge. Knowledge will not rescue you. The devil knows a lot of knowledge. In fact, the Bible says he's the most cunning beast created. He'll outwit me and you in a second through knowledge. The purpose that we receive knowledge is to create a heart of Christ in me and you. But so many times it doesn't go from here to here. That's where the heart needs to be born again. When I speak of the heart being born again, it means there's been an exchange made of the carnal heart for the heart of Christ. When there is a heart of Christ that has been established in you, you do everything you can to protect it. You do everything you can to prevent it from being contaminated. You run from anything that would promote a contaminated heart. You protect it because it is sacred, it is holy, and it's His. So many times we fall into the arena where we've shared our heart with so many things. We've touched and agreed with so many things in our life that we have to call our heart back and sever it and loose it from the hands of the enemy, the hands of lust. We call our heart back. You know, every time you say, I love this, what you've done is you've opened your heart to it. It's time we opened our heart to the things of God instead of the things of the world. So when we begin to call our heart back, the purpose of calling our heart back is to take that heart that we've shared and give it to Him and exchange your heart for His heart. Look at how many relationships people have with another and all kinds of things. Sometimes you don't even have to say you love it when you know you do. You desire it. It's because you opened your heart to it and it's now attached to your heart. So one of the things we want to do is sever all of these things from our heart. Give our heart to the King of Glory in exchange for His heart. Now we share His heart and not ours. Does everybody understand? Why? Because now we're sharing the heart of Christ. in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in this he says, for many boast in appearance and not in heart, because their heart has not been born again. A heart that's born again is a heart that is the heart of Christ. Because in true reality, you've given your heart away for his. Verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. And if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if we died for all, if one died for all, if one died for all, wow, then all died. Died to what? Self. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for who? Themselves, according to the dictates of their own heart, but according to the counsel of the heart of Christ. But for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to what? Flesh, carnal heart. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus what? No longer. If you were to see him now, he doesn't look like Jesus that you knew. Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ, in him, in his presence, in his truth, in his love, in his power, in his anointing, he is a new creation. He's a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. All things have passed away. In other words, there are those that have an appearance of godliness, but the heart isn't right. Again, when a heart is right, there's a desire to maintain his presence and please him, because there's true love. A new creation is maintained because when we walk in a new creation, we are brand new. To understand brand new, you must understand that anything old will contaminate new. We are a new creation in Christ, so to maintain the new creation, it is our responsibility to make things new by casting off the old. So there must be a desire to want new. If there's a desire to still want old, then the heart's not been fully exchanged. Is everybody okay? You cannot mix new and old. It will never work. And you cannot mix old and new. It just doesn't work. In Ephesians chapter 4, the title is Making It New. Ephesians 4:17. So whose responsibility to make it new? Ours. Ours. Why? Because he gives me and you a new spirit, doesn't he? Now it's our responsibility to maintain that newness by making things new and taking of new, eating of new. See, when people lose their thirst and hunger, you know what they do? They go back to old. That's what Jesus called them, lukewarm. See, when a person becomes lukewarm, he has to fulfill a desire and usually goes back to the world. Is everybody okay? They go back to alcohol, drugs, lust. They go back to those things that fulfill a carnal heart, amen, instead of fulfilling the new heart, because they haven't exchanged their hearts. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding what? Darkened, blinded, being alienated from the life of God. See, you may call yourself a believer, but you can still be alienated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their what? Heart. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said, but you've not so learned Christ. You've not learned him. Well, listen, this is where you've not exchanged. You've not fully exchanged. And you haven't stepped into the place that you want to make it new. See, nothing changes without cooperation. It's our responsibility to cooperate with the Creator to change. Only the Creator can change me and you, but it takes cooperation. That's called obedience. And it's something that's not just one time. See, people are still living in the past instead of living from the future. So when you live from the past, you want to feed the past. Now, it doesn't mean that you might have the same job. Amen? You might have the same job, but because you are born again in the Spirit and your heart has been born again, now you take the integrity of the new and you bring it into the job. But you don't allow the job to maintain the old in you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. But you've not learned Christ. If you did, indeed, you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off. So whose responsibility is it to put off? Ours. Concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows what? Corrupt. According to the deceitful what? Lust. Let me tell you about lust. Lust is a desire. Amen? Is an addiction a lust? It's an overwhelming desire. So people just look at addiction sometimes as just drugs and alcohol. That isn't the problem. The problem is lust is still there. It's an overwhelming desire to fulfill self. Does everybody get this? That's why he said, don't love the world, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye. Why? Because lust promotes an overwhelming desire for fulfillment. It wants, it wants, it wants, it wants, it wants. Well, the only lust that you and I should want is His presence. I want to lust for the presence of God. I want to lust for the will of God. See, but you and I have the power to choose. We can say no to the lust of the world and say yes to the lust of God. That's why the Bible says the lust of the Spirit and the lust of the flesh. Why? Because there's an overwhelming desire for fulfillment. You and I were created to have a desire for fulfillment. And we came from a place where complete fulfillment was. We came from the presence of God, where we were so fulfilled. And we just want, listen, you can't worship that long. And does everybody get that? You can't just worship that long if you didn't want more. Now, your flesh doesn't like it. The old man screams and kicks to get in God's presence. Are you kidding me? It does not want, because it's still lusting for the things of the world. It does not lust for God's presence. So it's our responsibility to put off the old man. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the what? New man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So there should be a fruit of righteousness, and there should be a fruit of holiness. Now you are walking in another realm. You're walking in another state of being. And when you walk in that born again, see, the born again individual sees things through. He sees things. He knows when temptation is coming. He hears the voice of temptation from a distance, but he follows the voice of the shepherd. He stays consecrated unto the Lord because of the fear of defilement. Does everybody understand that? Fear of defilement is a fear of God. We don't want to defile ourselves knowing it will cause separation. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let's go a little further here. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away what? Putting away what? Lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the what? Don't give place to the devil. Hello. Just don't give place to the devil. Depart from evil. Shut the door. Say no. Run. Call on his name. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who's in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Perversion, cussing, lying, manipulation. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, or the will of God to hearers. And do not what? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. See, that seal is a new DNA. That is a new mark that you carry. It is the DNA that allows you into the entrance port of eternity. That's why he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because he is the DNA seal for me and you. That's why he says, don't defile yourself. Why? Because that contamination will change that DNA. Is everybody okay? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another. Hallelujah. Be what now? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgave you. So in this, a person has not learned Christ because he hasn't put in the things that are practice that he's learned. Does everybody get that? When you do not put into practice the things that you learned, then you've not learned Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. Colossians chapter 3. We have a teaching called Practice Makes Purpose. The purpose of this is to practice and exercise the truth to make things new. When we begin to lack of those things, falter those things, one of the things that we begin to lose is God's fear, reverence, respect. We begin to lose the area that he sees all, knows all, and nothing is hidden from him. Colossians chapter 3. Making it new. Whose responsibility? Ours. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Let's speak this together. Therefore what? Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So can a believer be considered a son of disobedience? Amen. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and in all. Therefore, for the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Putting to death those things of the old. Only in you now. You know how you put them to death? With your mouth. You put them to death with your mouth, because there's life and death in the power of a tongue. You cannot fight the enemy with your thoughts. You fight him with your tongue. Does everybody understand that? How do you fight him? With your tongue. That's called the sword. Hebrews 5. Hebrew. Actually, he did brew this morning. I drank Hebrew this morning. The word says, eat the word, right? Praise God. I drink it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Would you read it with me? For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers. Everyone is called to be a teacher. Does everybody get it? The thing is if you're not in that place where you're saying, what I learn, I'm to teach, then you're not in that place to learn. I'm going to say that again. If you're not in that place to receive in the arena where you think what I learn, I must be able to teach, then you're not learning. The only thing you're doing is listening. Yeah, 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 got it, yeah, I'm with you, got it. Hallelujah. Though by now you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, because you're not willing to put a desire that says, I want to teach what I learn. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses, their spiritual understandings exercised, practiced. So why? To discern both what is good and what's evil. So if you can't discern what's good, you may know what's good and evil, but still do evil. You know, you and I were born with what's, we know what's good and evil. We already know it. You don't have to be taught that. The thing is that we got to put in the extra, see, we got to make things new. Why? By putting into practice, exercising those things that we have learned that are new. That's how we always keep the Lord before us. Hallelujah. Galatians 6. Again, this is not a Bible study. This is a training session. We're to be trained. Training for reigning. We're to be armed and dangerous. Not to each other. Sheesh. Galatians 6, verse 7. Is everybody there? Don't be what? Don't be stupid. It's real simple. Don't be stupid. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever man sows, he's going to reap. What you sow, you reap. That's a spiritual law that God does not interfere with. Hello? He doesn't interfere with it. Listen, I've seen people who've gotten set free, but were still reaping. They were still reaping, even though they're free. They've even gotten healed, but they were still reaping. So it doesn't mean God can't free you, but you're still going to have to reap what you sow. And now, of course, the more you sow in the Spirit, the more you outrun your reaping. Amen? So that's why people get confused. I don't get it. I'm free. But I still this and still that. Because you're still reaping, homie. Until you start sowing more in the Spirit and outrun your reaping. That is a law God has placed. And he will not come against his own word. Amen? So he's not mocked. Again, he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. And don't grow weary. Don't give up, man. And don't let us grow weary while doing good. In other words, doing good means while you're sowing in the Spirit. Don't give up. For in due season, we shall reap if we don't lose heart and if we don't stop sowing. Amen? Proverbs 26. So if you're sowing in the Spirit, are you making it new? Yes. Now, if you start sowing in the flesh, you start taking away the new. You start exchanging it again. Listen, the devil doesn't give a free pass. There's no free pass with the devil. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what his kingdom's about. And when he knows that you're born again, he's after you. Not to give the devil glory. But so many people don't know who they are. They're still living in the past and calling themselves believers in the present. Proverbs 26, is everybody there? Oh, praise God. How many of y'all know you've been sent into this world to fulfill a mission? You weren't sent here to build your empire. You were sent here to build his kingdom. Verse 10. Start at verse 9. Uh-oh, I'm in sound. Is everybody in Proverbs yet?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 26, verse something. Yeah, we'll start at 10. Somewhere around there. Oh, dear God, help me. Proverbs 26, verse 5. It's a good proverb. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cut off his head. No. cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like the legs of a lamb that hang limb is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog, what? Returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than that man. You know, God looks at people as fools. Why? Because they go back. He calls them a fool. Foolishness. You know, we minister in the jails. And one of the things that we share in this area, because many people go back to jail who've been out or whatever, because they don't live from the future. They still live from the past. So when they come into the jail and they come into our classes, I tell them, welcome home. Of course, they don't like that. I said, well, you want to be here. And one of the things that's vitally important in that is because they're not willing to make the things maintain a new state of being, they end up falling back into the old. And they coming back into the jail, and in that arena of the jail setting, it's captivity. So nobody likes to be in the jail setting of captivity. God allows certain things to happen to protect us, because worse things could come. For some individuals, jail is the place where freedom again begins. One of the things we share with them is God's not punishing you for being in jail. Man will, but God is trying to rescue. He always tries to rescue us. Always. He never gives up on us. It's we give up on him. And we begin to fall in the arena of trusting ourselves instead of trusting him. See, one of the things the enemy doesn't want you to do is to walk in God's presence. He doesn't want that. Because he hates God's presence. In fact, he is removed from the presence of God. And he knows that if he can keep you from the presence of God, he can keep you in the presence of deception. Because the earth is ruled by deception. It influences and manipulates all mankind. There's a powerful example. One of them was Samson. Anybody remember Samson? Go to the book of Judges in chapter 13 for a second. Judges 13. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it together, starting at verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did what? Evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for what? In other words, they went to prison. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah, of a family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. Verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to what? Hello? Not to what? Not to what? Drink. You know, people think that drinking is not drugging. It's pretty amazing to me. It's called liquid dope. It still brings stupid. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything that's what? Unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to what? Deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now this is powerful, because I see this as you and I. God sent us into this realm to deliver those who've been taken captive. First, we had to come out of captivity ourselves. Amen? And when we come out of captivity, we are trained. We are given tools. We are given weapons. We are given gifts. There are multiple things that are given to us to assist to rescue those who are still in captivity. But the enemy is not going to sit still. He's going to come at you with everything he can to prevent you from fulfilling the mission and the will of God. You and I, again, have been sent by God to deliver those who have been taken captive. They've been taken captive in the hands of the deception of the enemy. This is called devil's lust. Why were they taken into captivity? Because of lust, an overwhelming desire to fulfill self. Now, one of the things about Samson, I want to look at it. He was a new creation, right? Samson. He was anointed. God gave him everything he needed. But there was something that happened to Samson? The first thing is he broke the rules by destructive relationships. That was the first thing. Destructive relationships. Who you associate, your associations will bring impartations. The second thing is he lived by impulsive feelings. He allowed his feelings to dictate his decisions. The third thing he did is misuse the gift of God. The fourth thing, he was blind to his own weaknesses. He was full of pride and thought he could combat everything. He could fight things physically, but he wasn't battling spiritually, was he? Because the enemy was still influencing his thoughts. He was blinded to his own weaknesses. The fifth thing that he did is he lost sight of purpose. He allowed things to distract him. He got involved with lust. One of the things that he said is why he was with Delilah is because she pleased him. He exchanged the pleasing of God to the pleasing of self. And the sixth thing, he died in vain trying to regain his integrity. He took what was new and mixed it with old, and he failed. In Mark 7, is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Mark chapter 7. And when they saw one of Jesus' disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. How many of you know the enemy's always looking for fault? They're always looking for fault in someone else, but not themselves. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they washed their hands in a special way. I don't know how the special way was. Maybe it was on one leg or something like that. Holding the traditions of the what? The elders. When they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they washed. And there were many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And Jesus answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God. In other words, when we say laying aside the commandment of God, what they're doing is laying aside the fear of the Lord. You hold the traditions of men, the washing of the pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. Again, there are traditions of men. That's what we call doctrines of demons. He said, laying aside the fear of the Lord, they refused to make things new, and they wanted to keep the old. Many people are still going to the same church in the same seat. Their butts got a print in that seat. That's their initial right there. Nobody messed with that initial. They haven't gotten off of it yet. They can't even stand up and worship God or get down on their knees. Their traditions have kept them in captivity. I was one of them. I was brought up. I was even an altar boy. I drank a lot of wine. Hey, they could do it. I could do it, right? I'll never forget pouring the wine and the water for the priests and the Monsignors, and man, they take that chalice, and you'd be pouring the wine, and I'm like, whoa. And you go to pour the water, they go, that's enough. Man, they don't want to dilute that stuff, man. I'm telling you, it was like, forget the water. One drop, bing, that was it. They had it numbered. They saw that thing drop and touched the wine, and they were like, nope. I'm telling you. I was brought up in those traditions. To them, those things were sacred. But it was tradition that was sacred to them. The wine couldn't save you. Couldn't even deliver you. In fact, it probably opened more doors. I've seen people get together, man, the priests and nuns, and man, get down to get up. They were getting happy by the things of the world, not by the presence of God. I'm not saying that about all of them. I'm talking about where I was at. In fact, on the church I went to, there was a bar and a bowling alley. Here, drop the kids off, let's drink and go to service. It was nuts. I was told the Bible was nothing but a story. Then when you go to confession, you lie to the dude anyways. Hello, Father, bless me for I have sinned. Yeah, I just lied to you. Let's see, let me think of something. There was no relationship with God. It was traditions of men which keep people away from the truth of God and from who we really are. That's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you to know who you really are. He wants to keep you in a state of deception and captivity so you fulfill the lust of the flesh and not the lust of the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. The world influences. Let me show you what the traditions of men are today. Go to Mark chapter 3. Did I say Mark chapter 3? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Man, is it hot in here or what? Uh-oh. Strap in, guys. Don't blow my pages, babe. Thank you. Oh. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Now, know this, that in the last days, there perilous times are what? They're going to come. They're here. We're in them. It's not that they're going to come. They're here. And this is the traditions of the last days. Men will be what? Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Hi, I'm a Christian. But denying the power. And from such people what? Turn away. Don't associate. These are last day. This is a last day belief system. Remember we talked about the four horsemen. The four horsemen represent four ways of belief. That's all it is. It's a belief system. Religious belief systems that are behind each and every one. One is even a false Christianity. That's what the white horse represented. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Mark chapter 2. Is everybody okay? In verse 19, Jesus said, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of what? Unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts what? New wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskin, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskins." That's why you and I must continue to make things new so we can constantly receive the new wine and become stronger. Listen, the enemy's power is being released more. Demonic activity is more. But Jesus always gives us what we need to overcome, because we are more than conquerors. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If he be for us, who be with us or against us? Amen? But that's living from the future, not from the past. See, we must set that standard of making everything new. So no matter what comes across your path, you don't react, you respond. React is according to the old man. You respond according to the new man. The word says that God always makes a way of escape, no matter what's coming across. With our temptations, we're tempted because the enemy's already put a desire in us and he sees it. He throws the desire, you say, yeah. And he goes, okay, now, let me water that desire, then I'm going to come to you and you're going to accept what I offer you. Because he's not stupid. But God always makes a way of escape. So many times we miss the way of escape and opportunities from God. Because we're not making things new. We're not sensitive enough. Because we're not exercising our spiritual understandings, truths. Go to Romans 8. Making it new. It's just for me and you. Romans 8, verse 1. Let's read it together, please. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. So is there condemnation to those who are believers that are walking according to the flesh? Yes. Your knees should be knocking. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through this flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say righteous requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. But according to the Spirit. Yes. Walking according to the Spirit is making things new. Flesh is making things old. Again, you're either living from the future or living from the past. One or the other. Go to Psalm 37. Making it new, man. Making it new. In verse 3, 37:3. Trust in the what? In the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and do what? Feed on His faithfulness. That means you must eat. What you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. What you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. You eat light, you become light. You eat darkness, you become darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Listen, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He's already put His desire in you. His desire is now your desire. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him and He will bring it to pass. In other words, all things are possible to those who believe. No matter what it is. The Bible says that you and I have benefits, don't it? Forgiveness, healing, deliverance, freedom, prosperity. All of these things are available for me and you. That's a part of salvation. He said, He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him, and do not fret of him who prospers in his way because of men who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret, it only causes harm. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 6, therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in what? In due time. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Is a burden a care? How about a struggle? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or deceive, manipulate, or get fed on. You know, he wants to use you as food too. It says something very powerful in verse 9. What's it say?
Resist.
What's that first word?
Resist.
Now, how are you going to resist them? You going to throw a shoe at them? Resist them steadfast in the what? You know that there's believers that still don't have faith? They've lost faith. It says many will fall from the faith. There are Christians that are not carrying faith. Why? Because if you're carrying faith, you will overcome. One of the things the enemy wants to do is drain you of your faith. He starts hitting you with negativity. Anything to nullify God's promises and words. Why? Because faith comes by what? Hearing the what? Word. Those are words of promise. So the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? So he comes to take away the promises. He begins to tell you other things. So you begin to rely on yourself instead of him, instead of the Lord. Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Listen, everybody goes through it. You're not the only one. So you can't say, I'm the only one. No. to you, you're the only one. In verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffer a while, train. That's training. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you so you're no longer moved and you stay solid in faith. You trust. Why? Because you live from the future and not from the past anymore. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians 10. Oh, it's good to hear the pages on a Sunday morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you. By the meekness of the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the natural realm, we do not war according to the natural realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, which is nothing but a memory lie. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When your obedience is what?
Fulfilled.
Oh, hallelujah. I want to close at Mark 16, making it new. God sent me and you into this world to change the world. Hello? Sometimes one life at a time. Listen, no one's better than anybody else. We're all one in Christ. But there are those he can trust more than others, because trust is earned and freedom is learned. In Mark 16, in verse 14, it says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 of as they sat at a table. And he what? He rebuked them. He rebuked them for what? Unbelief. And what? Hardness of heart. Because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will what? Cast out demons. Hello. That's all you need to do is look in the mirror and cast your own out. They will speak with new tongues. Some of you just need to lay your hands on yourself. No, you might not want to do that. No. Hey, I've baptized myself multiple times in my bathtub. Sometimes I kept myself down long enough, you know, the old man died. They will speak with new tongues. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, new creation. Hallelujah. Second chamber of the tabernacle. And they will take up serpents. It doesn't mean you're going to go out and dance with snakes. And if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In other words, they will be healed. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, after he rebuked them and set them straight, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Again, you and I were rescued to change the world. That's why we're here. That's why we're alive. And that's why we're being changed. We're changed to bring an opportunity for someone else to change. Amen? But we must continue to make things new. Making it new so you stay new. When you stop making things new, you falter. You eat from the future, not from the past. Amen? Father, we are honored and blessed. And Lord, we just lift our hands to you right now. We ask that you make it new. Make the reality of making it new to each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that you'll heal everyone in this room, that you'll free them. I rebuke every power of darkness, sickness, disease, infirmity, every spirit of deception, delusion, compromise, complacency, religious spirits and captivities, spirits of bondage and lust. I rebuke every label that's been placed upon everyone in this room, and I break it off of them and command these spirits to loosen, to leave them and go to the pit. I sever all emotional attachments from each and every one of them, from things that will cause them to stumble. And I'm asking today, Lord, that they begin to feed on you, because you said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that we may become new, brand new, putting on the new creation and putting to death the old, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Prepare your hearts for communion.